Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
We now have the Holy Spirit's work, and because it's He and He alone, we cannot afford to be wrong where He is concerned. We need to learn who He is, what He does, and how He does it, or we will miss God altogether.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
You know, I've really begun to fall in love with this radio ministry. It's so much fun to put these teachings down and know that you're going to be able to grab a hold of this, and hopefully God will bless your life with it. To know that He's using me to do that, I just really can't express how much of an honor and a privilege that this is for me. 5 years ago, I never would have considered the idea of that I might be on the internet teaching the Word of God, or coming through your radio station in your car. And with that in mind, these last couple of shows, if you've been with us on a regular basis, have been a little technical. I kind of got deep on some stuff the last two times. Now, they're online, truthinfusion.com, truthinfusion.com. You get on there, go to the radio page, and listen to those. Listen to them again. Listen to them two or three times until you grasp the concepts. When you get them, God's going to apply His Spirit to them, and you're going to get revelation knowledge that's going to set you free. Not because I'm saying it. Not by any means, but it's His Word. And His Word, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, sets people free. So we're going to get away from the technicalities today, and we're going to get a little bit more mechanical, if you will. I want to scale down a little bit, and I want to get, I guess mechanical is the best way to describe it. Now, have you ever spent the afternoon with a mechanic? I'm not one, but if you ever did spend the afternoon or time with a mechanic and they are going through a car, undoubtedly, they're going to spend a lot of time showing you the motor, right? Because that's the big number one part of the vehicle. That's their job. They got to know how to take down, tear apart, and diagnose motor problems, engine issues. You know, if you don't have a functioning motor in a car, you may have something that looks like a car, but it ain't going to act like a car, you know? So up until this point with our sanctification study, I've given you a technical description of the car, so to speak. I've shown you doors and wheels and rear view mirrors and, you know, all the pretty outside and insides of the car. Okay, today, and from the next few sessions, I want to begin to, so to speak, I want to lift up the hood of sanctification and start teaching you about the engine, the motor that is the power behind this process. So when I say the mechanics, that's really what I mean. Let's look at what's moving the doctrine of sanctification, the process of sanctification in your life. So a couple of times, a few shows ago, I taught on justification, and I referred to it, I think, every show since then. The legal act that initiates that salvation, now, in large part, justification is performed by one part of the Godhead. It really is the act of God the Father. He is the justifier. He is creator. He is judge. He is justifier. He is the one that condemns or justifies. He's God. He is the final eternal say. Okay? He alone proclaims if a person is justified or condemned. Okay, on the other hand, the process of sanctification, there's another part of the Godhead or the Trinity that takes the lead, that is the sanctifier. If God's the justifier, the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. He really is the engine that powers the car. Okay, if I'm trying to stick with my illustration. The Holy Spirit is the engine in the car that is sanctification in your life. So without his work, the progress of us becoming more like Christ or the process of our Christian walk would just be for nothing. We would never break free from sin. We would never overcome those bondages that we struggle with. That stuff where you say, well, I wish I could just get past these anger issues. I wish I could overcome these addictions. I was able to forgive these sin problems. The only way we overcome them, it's not by our power, our will, our ability, but by God's might through the Holy Spirit working in us. He is the one that does it. Okay? Sanctification is the work or the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's the main theme of what I want you to hear today. He's the sanctifier. Here's the problem. Most Christians today have, at best, a sketchy understanding of what the Holy Spirit's about and what he does. And really what I'd like to do is I'd like to address this misunderstanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and why it's so costly to the sanctification progress and process. And I understand that I'm about to get controversial, but hey, that's good radio, right? That's what I was told by one guy whenever I told him I was going to start a radio program, as he said, be controversial. Well, my goal is not to be controversial. That's not what I'm after. But if the topic that's founded in the Word of God is controversial to the church or controversial to the world, then so be it. I'm just the messenger, and I'm going to speak what I feel like I see in the Word to you, okay? Let's talk about the misunderstanding or the misappropriation of what the Holy Spirit's true work is. Because in most churches today, the Holy Spirit his ministry has really been relegated to extremes. It's been taken to extremes by the church. Let's talk about that. On one end of this spectrum, if you will, remember the light spectrum on one side, and then the colors progress and change till you get to the other side. We have this spectrum or this continuum of what people see as the job or the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And really, most of us stay on one of the ends or the extremes of the continuum or the spectrum. So on one end of the spectrum, these type of churches, these type of believers keep the Holy Spirit locked into the basement because they're afraid of him, more or less. They look at him as the stepchild of the Trinity. Okay, there's the Father, there's the Son, and somewhere way back in third place is the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times these congregations are almost afraid of the movement of the Holy Spirit. So what do? They ignore him. And they don't give him free rein in their lives and in their ministries and in their services. And as a result of not lending yourself to the Holy Spirit and giving him his room, these congregations operate in sort of a spiritual coma. I had one pastor that brought us in for a revival one time. Here's what he said. David, I hope this revival calls these people to worship because they have been in a spiritual coma for 15 years. And let me tell you, we spent 3 days there, and by that third day, we had church. And they worshiped for the first time in, this pastor said, 15 years. They allowed the Holy Spirit to begin to move. Before that, they had shut him away in this frozen, chosen church in the morgue atmosphere that a lot of our churches are locked into. And I'm not being critical. My heart's going out to you. Because you're dry on the inside, and God is, God operates in ways outside of the church bulletin sometimes. And these churches have regular meetings, but seldom is the sanctifier released to do his job. And some of you have been in churches that are that way. Truth Infusion Ministries isn't tied to any particular brand of Christianity. I'm just here speaking the truth. But then there's the other side of the spectrum, the other side of the continuum. And on this side, these denominations, these believers, these churches and congregations have turned the Holy Spirit's work into sort of a sideshow act. You know, you walk down the gangway at the carnival or the circus and you see all of the crazy things that these sideshow act people are doing. And this is what we've done in some churches. The people show up and they want the Holy Spirit to do tricks, to perform tricks before them. And these services, sometimes, you know, they look like an ant mound that's been kicked over. And it's just chaos, stuff going all over the place. Instead of a true spiritual encounter with God, it becomes confusion. And it becomes so extremely tied to an emotional experience that we mistake outlandish emotion for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it's become an emotional thing, not grounded in the reality of the Word. And so guests come in, visitors come in, and they see this going on, and they're freaked out. And God doesn't operate, the Holy Spirit doesn't operate in confusion. He doesn't operate in such a way that scares away the innocent. So in most cases, God seldom operates in extremes. Okay? But that's usually where religion takes us as people. Now that I've probably upset most of you that are listening, I want to qualify, I want to re-underline my point. Because I'm not saying that it's wrong to show quiet reverence and stillness in a service. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that a church bulletin is the sign of being hypo-spiritual. I'm not saying that. And I'm also not suggesting that the Holy Spirit doesn't perform supernatural acts in the lives of Christians and in church services. I've been involved in that personally many, many times. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that if you are overcome with emotion, that you're hyper-spiritual. Because I've been in services where I was so emotional that I was just on my face before God. My point is that it is not scriptural to believe that the Holy Spirit only operates in those extremes. Okay? And if you're in a church that only operates in extremes, whether that be not having the Holy Spirit move at all, or the other side of the Holy Spirit, it's just a crazy atmosphere where people that don't know any better come in and are afraid. If you only operate in those extremes and your church is that way, there's a better than average chance that you may be trading the true effective ministry of the Holy Spirit for human, religious, emotional traditions that you're comfortable with. Okay. Now, the reason that these extremes exist in churches is because, my beginning point, we don't have a very good understanding of what the true ministry of the Holy Spirit is. And so in the place of the true ministry of the Spirit, we have inserted schemes and ideals that we like, that prop up what we want to see in services and our agendas and make us feel comfortable where we are. And I realize that I've upset some people, and these are harsh words. But this is just the way that mankind operates. If we get away from the truth of the word, we tend to escape to extremes. And when we come back from the break, I want to prove it to you in the Bible. I've said enough of my thoughts. Let me show you in the Word where we operate in extremes when we get away from God's plan. And I think you'll begin to see what I'm talking about as I kind of tie up the controversy of truth infusion this week and how the Holy Spirit should truly operate because He's the sanctifier. We need to understand His ministry so that He can do His all-important job in our lives. And I want to begin to underline my ending point. I ended on saying that we don't understand in a lot of cases the true ministry of the Holy Spirit. And any time that we get away from the scriptural middle, the truth, the path that God intended for us to walk, His true plan, we get away from that, we usually result in going into a religious extreme of some sort. Now I said some harsh things, but I really feel like this is the way that mankind operates since the beginning. We have twisted the spiritual from God to fit our own desires and ultimately to give ourselves control to operate in a selfish way. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I'm going to give you some examples. You see this happen in the beginning with Cain. He brought to the altar the sacrifice that he desired, not God's plan, not God's commandment for a blood sacrifice from the cream of the crop. He brought his vegetables, what he desired to lay before God. He went into his extreme, and where did it lead him? Into even further extremes as he murdered because of God not accepting the way he wanted to do it. All right, here's another example. Abram was given an amazing promise by God. He took him outside and he showed him the stars. He said, "You will have descendants that outnumber these stars." Abraham was 100 years old. He knew he was dead in his body. So Abraham, out of frustration, decided to take it into his own hands, do something religious. He was still trying to produce a son. Do it his own way. Had the child with Hagar, the maidservant. Ishmael's born. And Ishmael's descendants have been chasing down Isaac's descendants ever since. Have been trying to kill Isaac since the beginning. Because Abraham went outside of God's plan and went to the extreme in his own plan. Okay, let me give you another example. The children of Israel crying out to God for a king. They want a king like everybody else to rule over them. God said, "I am your king." That wasn't good enough. God's plan was for him to rule over the people and them to bow before him as king. They didn't want that. They wanted a king like everybody else. So God finally acquiesced, gave them a king, and it wasn't really the king that he wanted. Gave him Saul. Saul quickly fell into the flesh because he wasn't part of God's plan. Saul ends up so far in left field that he's asking a witch to evoke the spirit of Samuel so that Paul could seek Samuel's advice. I mean, how outside of the plan of God is that? But when they left the path to begin with, they ended up in extreme. And it ended up bringing them down. Over and over, we see this in the lives of the Israelites, the God's chosen people in the Old Testament, as they leave Him and go to idol worship. And then they're taken over by an invading army. They're enslaved. They come back to God. They cry out. He delivers them. The judges, over and over, the judges, it's just like a broken record. The judge, the power of God, delivers them. They rejoice. They're happy. They're God's people again. Then they go back to their ways, and they fall into being oppressed again. Then they cry out again. God delivers them. Every time they leave God's plan, they end up enslaved. Now here's the New Testament. Do you see it? in the spirituality of the Pharisees in Jesus' day? The prideful misinterpretation of what spirituality really was, because everything that's spiritual is not of God. And they took spirituality to their own extreme and their own religious nose up in the air, taking God's commandments and his laws and exploding them with hundreds of other laws and then pushing their chest out in front of the people and becoming dictators because they were so puffed up with their own Pharisaical pride, thinking they were holy and righteous and doing God's will because they were so religious. And Jesus tells them, the people, unless your righteousness is greater than that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter heaven. So as spiritual as they thought they were, and as religious as they thought they were, they had left God's plan and gone into an extreme, to a place that they were nowhere close to being righteous in God's eyes. These were the spiritual leaders. Then you go into the epistles, go further into the word. Go to the church of Galatia. Paul had gone and laid out for them the gospel. The gospel of grace, the new covenant, taught this church from its inception, trained them, taught them, brought them to a place where they were a thriving, active, growing body. And then Paul leaves. The Judaizers, the false teachers, come in. And they began to follow another gospel. They walk away from God's plan to the Judaizers' plan. And what happens? Paul writes the book of Galatia. He's an emotionally distraught over the condition they had fallen into because, as religious and as right as they thought they were, they left the plan of God and went into another extreme to their detriment. And now look at the modern day church. You know, with the emergence of the seeker-sensitive movement that has thrown the gospel of Christ out the window, the gospel of you're a sin, he's the Savior, you need to submit yourself before the cross of Christ and let the blood of Jesus wash you clean. Now we're into this idea of creating an environment that invites sinners in. We'll do the things the world does so they'll come to us. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is being thwarted for this modern day Judaizers. And we're going into an extreme and leaving the truth behind. All these examples have one thing in common. They're religious. They're enacted by people that claim the name of God. They claim Christianity. I'm not saying they're not saved. That's not my place and my business. What I'm saying is they claim the titles, but the religious actions are departures from the truth, from Adam and Eve on up to today. Very sincere in what they're doing, very sincerely wrong. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, we cannot afford to be sincerely wrong. Are you with me? We must have a true knowledge of what his ministry involves, what it's all about, what he desires to accomplish, what it means when he does the work in our lives. So let me close. I'm almost done with my time. I just wanted to give you an introduction today of the ministry of the Holy Spirit as it relates to sanctification. I want to end with a final statement that will lead to further shows down the road as we continue to talk about the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, and his work. Let me give you a statement that I've written down that I believe with all my heart is true. Here's what it says. In the time between the ascension of Jesus Christ and the rapture of his church, the time we're living in now, okay, from the ascension to the rapture. Now listen, the activity of God on earth and in the lives of man will only be carried out by the Holy Spirit. He and He alone is the hand of God on earth. Therefore, we must learn who He is. We must learn what He does, and we must learn how He does it. Otherwise, we will miss God altogether. Let me rephrase that. Between Jesus leaving and Jesus returning, the activity of God on earth is going to be taken care of, be carried out by, be seen done by the Holy Spirit, and only the Holy Spirit. He is God on earth during this dispensation of grace, this period we are in right now. He is the one that is carrying out God's work. He is the hand of God to us, and only the hand of God. Jesus said, "It is finished." He went to heaven and sat down by the right hand of God. His work is done. We now have the Holy Spirit's work. And because it's He and He alone, we cannot afford to be wrong where He is concerned. We need to learn who He is, what He does, and how He does it, or we will miss God altogether. So, for the next couple of shows, I want you to learn who He is. Let's learn about the Sanctifier and what His true ministry is in the lives of God's people. That's going to be our goal in the coming shows. So, don't miss it. Come back, and until the next time around, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.